This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Election Day was more than 2 weeks ago. The vote tally took longer than a normal election year because a record number of people voted by mail. Yet once the votes were in, Vice President Joe Biden was projected the winner. But President Donald Trump has not conceded the election. The election results will be made official after two final steps in the election process. Each state needs to certify their election results, and the popular vote gets turned into the electoral vote. Once that's complete, Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes can be cast. President-elect Biden is ahead of President Trump by about 20,000 votes in Wisconsin. The president has indicated he wants a recount, and the deadline to file is today at 5 p.m. To understand the president's legal challenges and recount efforts, WUWM's Mayon Silver spoke with Adav Noti, the senior director and chief of staff at Campaign Legal Center, a nonpartisan government watchdog group. He explains how and when election results are finalized and begins with a primer on how the Electoral College works.
In the United States, we don't directly vote for the presidency. The citizens of the country do not cast votes directly for the person who will be the next president. Instead, we elect a small number of people, which is currently 538, and those people actually cast the votes that decide who the next president would be. So each state gets a number of presidential electors that's equal to the number of members it has in the House of Representatives plus the number of senators it has, and the presidential electors, who are collectively referred to as the Electoral College, cast their votes in the middle of December, and the winner of the majority of those votes becomes the next president in January.
For people who may not understand like what the substantive difference is between having the popular vote decide the president and having these electors decide the president, I mean, if the electors are bound by the popular vote in their state, what is the concrete difference there?
So the electors in most states are required to cast their votes for whoever won the popular vote in that state. So on a state-by-state level, the popular vote does control. But at a national level, you can get a divergence between the winner of the popular vote and the winner of the electoral vote. Say if a candidate wins by a large margin in some large states, but loses by a small margin in smaller states, you can easily end up with a situation where a presidential candidate gets more popular votes nationwide, but ends up with fewer electoral votes. And in fact, this has happened several times in American history, including 2016 and 2000.
So let's fast forward to 2020. We just had an election. Can you talk about what's happening between now and Election Day and how that's impacting the electors?
Sure. So there are a number of steps that take place in the process of turning the votes that are cast on Election Day into the final results of the presidential election. The first step is for each state to finalize its results. And that's the stage that we're in now. So each state has its own laws and procedures for how it counts the votes and, if necessary, recounts the votes and produces a final certified total of the votes that were cast for president on Election Day. Then the second step, once the state has its final certified results, is for the state to appoint its presidential electors. Now, these are the members of the Electoral College from that state. They've been nominated in advance by the parties or the campaign. So going into Election Day, you know, each state would have already nominated a number of Republican electors and a number of Democratic electors based on the total number of electoral votes that the state is allocated. And then the winner of the popular vote on Election Day, that's their nominated slate of electors are the ones who are actually appointed. And that appointment happens in most states. That appointment happens automatically when the governor or the secretary of state or whoever the chief election officer in the state is certifies those final results of the popular vote.
So right now you're telling me there's like 10 people wandering around Wisconsin for the Democrats, probably in their kitchens or working right now, but they're slated to vote for Biden. And then there are also 10 people wandering around in Wisconsin who are slated to vote for Trump. And depending on who won the popular vote, one or the other slates would be activated.
That's exactly right. That's exactly how it works. There are the number of electoral votes allocated to the state. That's the number of nominees there are for presidential electors within that state. And then each party or each candidate would have its own slate comprising that number of elector nominees. And then once the results are certified, those folks go from being elector nominees to actual presidential electors.
So before we get into, you know, some of the anxiety that some people have about which slate of electors might be nominated, can we talk a little bit about the safe harbor date? When is that in Wisconsin, and how, what does it mean?
So under federal law, each state is responsible for determining the results of its own presidential elections. And federal law recognizes that there might be disputes about the results of the elections in any given state, and there might be recounts or contests. And so what the law says is that a state gets to decide in the first instance who won the presidential election within that state. And as long as they do that by a certain date, which this year is December 8th, and as long as they do it pursuant to whatever the laws and procedures were that were in place on election day, that state's determination of who won its presidential election is conclusive. It's final. It can't be second-guessed later at the federal level or anywhere else. So there are two parts to that determination. One is that the state has to wrap up any contests or recounts or any other sort of disputes about its results by the safe harbor date, which is December 8th. And they have to do it pursuant to the pre-existing rules. So they can't change the rules after Election Day. If a state changes its rules after Election Day, that's actually illegal in a number of ways, but one of the many laws it would violate would be the federal law that provides for safe harbor of states' determinations of their own election results. So a state that changes the rules after Election Day isn't not entitled to the protection of federal law for its decision.
And right now in Wisconsin, you know, we're at the point of the various bodies are trying to canvass and certify the results, but we are expecting potentially on Wednesday morning there could be a recount request from the Trump campaign. It would cost them something like $8 million up front is what the election officials are saying. But do you think anything with regards to a recount could postpone the state certifying their results before the safe harbor date?
I think it's extremely unlikely that any recount would last beyond the safe harbor date. Wisconsin has conducted recounts before. Every state has at one time or another conducted recounts and had contests and court proceedings, and no state of any significance has missed the safe harbor date in a very, very long time. Even in the 2000 election, with the recount in Florida and litigation that went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, even then, Florida did not miss the safe harbor date. So there is plenty of time for Wisconsin to conduct a recount if one is requested and paid for in advance of the safe harbor date. The state has its own certification deadline, which is December 1, and that might have to slip a little if there is a recount, and that has happened before. But that's fine, because ultimately the state has longer than that to certify its results.
And then, you know, a primary tactic of the Trump campaign beyond, you know, requesting a recount and some conservative groups has been to try to prevent the states from certifying their results or like delay the process. And, you know, they've been doing this through various lawsuits, arguing bringing voter fraud allegations, saying they had evidence, and then not bringing the evidence in court. In fact, that happened in Wisconsin on Monday. Do you know anything about these lawsuits and their potential impact in Wisconsin and elsewhere? And if, you know, you're expecting any other lawsuits to be brought in Wisconsin or anything like that?
Well, the only way that the campaign could really delay the certification and finalization of the presidential results in each state would be to get a court order, right? To get some sort of court order saying, hold on, it's not time to certify the results yet. And so I think that's why we're seeing a lot of litigation brought by the Trump campaign to try to delay those certifications. None of the litigation has been remotely successful to date. None of it has even actually gotten past the initial stage of scrutiny by courts, much less gotten to the point of any sort of court order. And based on the suits that are pending currently, I think it would be quite surprising if any court were to do that. And of course, in the big picture, the way the electoral vote counts look, to actually delay the finalization of the presidential election as a whole, the campaign would have to get delays in multiple states, you know, states totaling a significant number of electoral votes, to push back the date at which enough results have been certified to make Vice President Biden, officially the president-elect. And I think it's going to be very difficult for the campaign to get a delay in any state, and to get a delay in enough states to make a difference is essentially impossible at this point.
So even if the state certifies the election on time, let's say none of those lawsuits work, everything goes as planned, is there any way that Wisconsin's Republican-controlled legislature could, like, go rogue and appoint the Trump electors, even if the popular vote is saying that it should be the Biden electors?
Not legally. Federal law prohibits that. So although state legislatures get to decide on the front end how a state is going to allocate its electoral votes, and you know, currently all 50 states do that by popular vote, right? The winner of the popular vote wins the state's electoral votes. State legislatures get to decide how the electors are chosen, but under the Constitution, Congress decides when the electors are chosen, and Congress has done that for a very long time by setting an election day, which this year was November 3rd. So that's a nationwide election day. It applies to all states, and that's the day on which every state, no matter how they allocate their presidential electors, that's when they have to make the decision about who those electors are going to be. And again, in all states, that's by popular vote. After that day has passed, the legislature has no more power to change how the state allocates its electoral votes. They could change it for a future election. A state could decide for 2024, the state legislature could decide, well, we're not going to hold a popular vote anymore. We're going to appoint our members of the Electoral College by some other method. But they can't retroactively change it for 2020.
And what happens on December 14th? We've talked a little bit about December 8th. What happens, 6 days later?
So on December 14th, the Electoral College, the presidential electors, cast their actual votes for president. Electoral College is a little bit of a misleading term because it suggests that all the electors get together. They don't actually do that. The electors from each state meet within their own states. So there are 51 separate meetings of the Electoral College, one in each state plus the District of Columbia. And at those meetings, the electors cast their votes for president. They cast them pursuant to the winner of the popular vote in each state. And then they send those votes to Congress. And Congress then meets in a special session, a joint session with both the House of Representatives and the Senate together on January 6th of 2021 to officially count those votes that are submitted from the meetings of the electors in each state.
What happens if there's a dispute about the electoral votes?
A dispute in Congress?
Yeah, a dispute in Congress.
So there's a federal law that specifies how any disputes about the counting of electoral votes get handled. And the basic procedure is that at the joint session of Congress, where the electoral votes are counted, members of the House or Senate can object if they think there's a problem with the electoral votes that are submitted from a state. And if there is an objection, then the House of Representatives and the Senate, they leave the joint session and they meet separately. So the House meets and the Senate meets separately, and they vote on which set of electoral votes from that state are valid. If the House and Senate agree on which set of electoral votes from the state should be counted, then that's the one that gets counted. Simple enough. If the House and Senate disagree, there are a series of sort of tie-breaking rules about which set of votes get counted. And the two main rules are that if a state has complied with the safe harbor rule, meaning a state has certified its the results of its presidential election by December 8th and done it pursuant to the laws as they stood on election day, then that slate gets counted, and another one that doesn't comply with those rules does not. And then the backup provision is that if there's still a dispute about which set of electors from the state is valid, then the results that are certified by the governor of the state get the essentially the tiebreaker. They are the ones that are counted.
So I should have made it clear that when I was asking you answered it great. I should have made it clear that when we're talking about a dispute, we're talking about two different panels of electors, like the Republican slate and a Democratic slate, right?
Right. Well, it could come up, a dispute about electoral votes or the counting of electoral votes could come up a number of different ways. I mean, the scenario that some had floated in the context of this election, and it's not going to happen, and it was never likely to happen. But the one that some folks raised earlier in the process was, what if there's a set of electoral votes that are submitted pursuant to the popular vote in the state and certified by the governor, and then another set of electoral votes that's appointed directly by the legislature of the state? So that's the scenario in which the governor's slate gets the tiebreaker if the two houses of Congress can't agree on which one to count. Of course, the legislative leaders in all of these states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, have all made clear, rightly so, that they do not, in fact, have the legal authority to just start appointing presidential electors after the election. That's not legal under federal law. But even if they were to do so, you know, under the vote counting rules for electoral votes, if there were one set of votes submitted by a legislatively appointed slate, another submitted by a slate that was elected by the popular vote and certified by the governor's slate would be counted and the legislative slate would not.
And in some, are there any other disputes that you would see as plausible, anything to expect or to look for, or are you pretty much expecting that things will go as, like, pro forma, as you say, according to form?
Well, at this point, there's really nothing left to do except, you know, the few states that might have recounts. Wisconsin may have a recount. Georgia has already had essentially one recount and may have a second. But those are, you know, recounts do not change vote totals in any significant way. I mean, essentially the largest number of votes that have ever been changed by a statewide recount is, you know, several hundred, and the margins in all of these states are in the tens of thousands. So there's really no doubt or uncertainty left about the results of the presidential election.
All right. Well, Adav Noti, thank you so much for unpacking this for us.
Thank you.
Adav Noti is the Senior Director and Chief of Staff at Campaign Legal Center, a nonpartisan government watchdog group. He spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver.